Backseat Box Office, episode number 147, for the weekend of July 12th through July 14th, 2013. Hey, this is Lena.
Hey, this is Jeff.
And this is Art.
And we are the Backseat Producers, and you're listening to Backseat Box Office. Hello, everybody. Hello, gentlemen.
How you doing? Welcome to Pacific Rim Eve.
It's that big a deal?
I'm trying to make it so. You got a problem with that?
Well, maybe I do.
Okay. All right.
Now, you did not see any movies last weekend, Jeff. How about this weekend?
We went to Despicable Me 2.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and I saw Star Trek Into Darkness again.
Oh, cool. With your son, was it?
No, my friend.
Oh, okay.
It's been months since he's gone to the movies.
Oh.
Said, let's go see Iron Man 3. And then Iron Man 3 started at 11:15 at the theater that we could go to. And he says, nah, maybe not. How about Star Trek at 8:30? Oh, let's do that. I was shocked that there was about 3 empty seats in that theater.
Wow.
And I
thought that's not bad. That,
you know, out of release. But yeah, no, it was but we were in the closet theater.
Oh yeah.
So what I mean, wasn't this one was an AMC 30.
Mhm.
So yeah, we're probably in the bad corner.
When I finally got to seeing Man of Steel, I was in the walk-in closet theater, because the one I go to is 24 screens. There are smaller ones, but I was in the not the smallest, but I mean still bigger than my TV, so it's still a big screen. I'm still happy. And did you like Despicable Me?
Yes, I did, even though I didn't think it was good as the first one. Did either of you see Despicable Me 2?
I did. I saw.
I did not.
Oh, it was fun. It was not as minion heavy as I was worried that it would be. There was a nice enough of a mix of minions and story, but the minions are, frankly, they're the best part.
Yeah, they had a couple. I mean, I laughed pretty good at a couple of some of their antics.
Yes. And Kristen Wiig's character, Lucy, she was just very Kristen Wiig-y.
Mm-hmm.
But I really liked Benjamin Bratt as El Macho. It just cracked me up.
Yeah, I wasn't drawn in by his character, what he was doing on screen as much. The kid in me just wanted, you know, all minions all the time.
I wouldn't.
Even though.
As much as. Yeah, I know.
probably would have suffered overall.
Yeah. I was just going to say, as much as I'd love to say, I would love to see an all minion movie, it would suck.
I'm not so sure about that.
Really? Well, then that's what they've got to do.
You know,
get on it, whoever you are.
There were hints about, you know, that some of the minions have names.
Oh, yeah.
So I think if you differentiate them a little bit more, that there's kind of like, I don't know, head minions, and you just have a regular minion that, you know, that might make the movie more palatable. But we'll see, because it is coming.
For real, or are you just hoping?
No, for real.
Oh, I did not know that.
I think I'll have to research that and get back to you. But I think that the director who did Despicable Me 2, I think he's leaving to do some other project. And they're I think, one, because if you looked at the credits, most of the minion voices are the director and the producer.
Oh, okay.
So there's some switcheroo going on. That one of them's leaving, and then another guy from the movie they're going to helm whatever they're going to call the Minion movie.
Okay. Man of Steel we've already discussed. Art?
Yes?
Did you see any movies? It's your turn. Movies?
Oh, right. Movies. I don't think I watched any movies. I watched a lot of TV.
That's okay.
I'm all caught up on Under the Dome, which I am enjoying. And I hear it's doing really good numbers for the network. What else did I watch? I have watched Nemo probably about a half dozen times, Finding Nemo. Because my daughter is on a Finding Nemo kick, and it's been about 2 weeks now. And she gets it in her head, we're done with dinner, and she'll look over at me, and she'll be like, Nebo. N-E-B-O, Nebo. I'm like, oh, you want to watch Nemo? She's like, yeah. Yeah.
That's a lot of that.
Over and over and over. And it still hasn't gotten old, so.
Well, that's good.
Fortunately, she latched on to a very good movie. I think it hasn't been much else.
I have a question for you, Art. Did you have Soap Network before you switched TV providers?
No.
Because at about Saturday afternoon, I was flipping through the channels and Soap Network had Gilmore Girls on it.
I actually have Soap Network. The few channels I have with my basic cable, that's one they gave me.
DirecTV 262.
Yeah, I did watch a little bit of one episode, and then we moved on to watching something else. I don't remember what. I did put it on for a little bit. And I did end up putting on the Star Trek The Next Generation for a minute. And it was right before people started showing up for, I think, the Sunday get-together. We just had a couple of friends come over. It wasn't a get-together. And I was like, okay, well, I'm not going to subject everybody in the room to this because I know I'm the only one who cares. So I changed it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's been a pretty slow week.
Did you check or did you watch anything, any of the marathons other than Next Generation that you just mentioned?
I did record all of The Walking Dead to get caught up on that, but I haven't watched any of it yet.
I caught some of the Jumping the Shark marathon that was on Clue.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I wasn't really interested in any of them except the one show that I used to watch when I was little. Well, I wouldn't say little, but I was younger. Was Bosom Buddies. Oh, my God, watching that episode where Tom Hanks finally tells Donna Dixon. and they finally go out and say that, I've been dressing up as a woman to be close to you. Which he freaks out, I think, appropriately.
I always loved that show.
Oh, my God. Yeah, and...
But yeah. I was... Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you have to compare the career arc of Tom Hanks to Peter Scolari,
And Peter Scolari was the one that I liked.
Yeah.
I was always a big fan of his.
Well, he had a lot of... They gave him a lot of good lines, though.
Oh, yeah.
Because, he was, I guess, more of a sidekick to Tom Hanks, I guess.
Better at physical comedy.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So, okay, I'm done talking about Bosom Buddies.
Okay.
So, Lena, did we cover what movies that you watched other than this?
We did not.
Okay.
So, I saw Despicable Me 2. Very, very fun. I saw Oz the Great and Powerful. Holy shit, was that boring? The first hour and 15 minutes, my friend Laurie and I are sitting there because we rented it on her birthday. Well, she rented it after we had gone to see two movies at the theater. We came back for cake, which I Facebooked a picture of that beautiful cake.
Oh, yes.
We came back for... Yeah, that was from the grocery store. That was a gorgeous cake and delicious. But she rented a couple movies in Oz the Great and Powerful. Of the one she rented was the one we were both going to watch. For the first hour and 15 minutes, we were literally falling asleep. Had to keep going, hey, wake up. Just like on either side of the couch. The end part was better when he does his quote-unquote wizard things and becomes the wizard. That was more interesting, but to me, and this to me this speaks volumes, the best actor in the movie was Zach Braff, who played the friggin' monkey.
Interesting.
I'm saying.
I didn't think it was that bad. Are you sure you weren't just, you know, burnt out too much movie at that point?
I was really disappointed in Mila Kunis. She had like so little emotion. And even as she's the one who becomes the Green Witch, the one with the most anger. And even her cackle was like, there was just, oh my God, someone stick a pole up her butt. Get her to do something. There was so little there. And I think, I don't know. James Franco to me was back and forth. It seemed like the scenes with Mila were not great. So I don't know if it was just that he was kind of feeding off of her nothingness. But jeez, aloo. I mean, the end was good. I liked Michelle Williams as Glinda. She was cute. Those giant flying baboons were, number one, they were very freaky, and number two, they reminded me of the big things that run after you in Temple Run. If either of you have played Temple Run.
I have a little bit.
You know that thing that chases you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of what the flying baboons, get off the desk, reminded me of. Really? I gave you catnip. You're supposed to be passed out. Gah. Oh, let's see. I finished, because Backseat Producers worked on that tonight, or recorded it tonight, I watched Upstream Color. Very odd movie, very difficult movie. I've only seen it once. I probably need like a couple more to understand it, but I would not be able to do the notes at all if I hadn't seen it at all. It's, I don't even understand. It's by Shane Carruth, who did Primer.
Oh,
okay.
And it's like this woman is drugged, but this drug is kind of derived from a worm. It's not organic. It's an organism, and it's almost like she's not so much hypnotized, but she's just very suggestible. And this kind of petty thief just makes her do things and take all the money out of her bank, and her life is kind of ruined. And then she meets this guy who's in the same thing happened to him, but neither of them know what happened, because when they're under the influence of whatever this is, they don't know it. So they kind of meet and hook up, but neither one of them know what happened, and it was just bizarre. It's so bizarre, and there's pigs and blue stuff, and I don't know. But it was not bad, really. So that's the most you get me out of that. And screw everybody, I liked The Lone Ranger. I don't care. I don't care. I went in with the only expectation of being entertained. And I was. And that's it. 2.5 hours, didn't, you know, I was okay with the length. Towards that last big action-y scene when the theme starts up, and it actually plays for quite some time, I was sitting there grinning like a 5-year-old boy. I just enjoyed it. Don't care. Don't care. I enjoyed it. I did not think that because everyone kept saying that, I can't think of his name, that Johnny Depp was just playing it all for humor. There were some, you know, little, there were tongue-in-cheek things, there were a couple of eye rolls, but it wasn't all humorous, and I don't know. That's all I have to say on that. I really enjoy The Lone Ranger. Clearly I'm the only one. Don't care.
Well, since neither of us have watched it, we really don't have anything to say. I am surprised.
That I liked it?
Especially, maybe I anti-hyped it enough that put you in a place where you're going to enjoy it.
No, I was dreading it. After recording, I'm like, oh, geez. Because we went to Despicable Me, and then we were trying to figure out, like, when does this end? When does the next thing start? We actually almost didn't see it and had decided at the last minute we're going to go see The Heat instead because the timing works out better. So Despicable Me finished much shorter than we thought it would be. And then we, you know, because we'd been sitting in there for a while, we went to the ladies' room, came out, looked at, you know, looking at my phone, and we were just kind of sitting there going, in the theater, right, you know, like two steps away from us, The Lone Ranger is starting right now. So that was it. I think The Heat was like going to be 20 minutes later, and it's like, we're here. Let's go see The Lone Ranger.
So all I have to say is you're welcome.
Oh, goodness. And I started... I started watching A Late Quartet because that was it apparently one of the new ones on Netflix. And I remember that being one of my art house picks.
Yes.
With Christopher Walken and Philip Seymour Hoffman. I started watching it, but at the time I just was not in a place to appreciate poignancy. And I actually started watching it because I had to stop watching Upstream Color for a while because they were going to kill a piggy and I could not deal with that. I was very upset. I'm like, I gotta watch something else, not the piggy.
Now, you reminded me that there was another movie that I watched, and I don't think we talked about, Seven Psychopaths.
How was it? I haven't seen it yet.
It was good. Now, I don't have... I know that there is a Backseat Producers where they talked about it. But I haven't been able to track it down because my podcatcher doesn't go back that far.
Have you seen Seven Psychocats?
No.
I have to find the link and send it to you. It's basically Seven Psychopaths, but cats. Cats, like, with Christopher Walken voice and...
Oh, okay. No, I enjoyed the movie, and it just... you know, Sam Rockwell went up another level for me. Because he's great. He is just great. There was one part in the movie that I could have done without, but I think we should talk about that after maybe you and or Art has watched it. Because it's kind of spoilery.
Okay. I do want to see it.
But it had a really good cast. Harrelson's good in it, you know. You don't have to say anything about Christopher Walken. You know, Colin Farrell kind of played a character against type because that guy's been in a lot of action movies, but he's kind of a wussy in this movie.
I like Colin Farrell. I always have.
Yeah.
Should
we talk about how the box office did last week? Or do you have something else before we jump into that?
No, I was trying to think. I was like, did I see anything else? I go so long between movies and then I see all of them. Nope. Weekend box office. The movie we all liked, except Art, who hasn't seen it yet, but will like when he does see it. Despicable Me 2 opened at number 1, grossing $83.5 million. The Lone Ranger opened at number 2 with a much lower $29.2 million. The Heat came in at number 3, grossing $24.8 million. Monsters University came in at number 4, grossing $19.7 million. World War Z fell to number 5, grossing $18.4 million. We're going to go a little bit further. World War Z came in... well, we're going to anyway, huh? Did I say World War Z? Am I repeating myself?
Yes.
Oh. Come on, it's almost midnight for me. White House Down fell to number 6, grossing $13.5 million. And we will go one more to Man of Steel in number 7, grossing $11.4 million. And now on to movie pickies. We had 3 25s. And one of them is me.
Wow.
I know. Who'd have thunk?
Drug test.
Also, Kugron and Scott, we got all 5 of them right. So, yay us. We are so smart. S-M-R-T. And with 23 points, we have Jeff and Mrs. Beast. So, Jeff, tell all the lovelies what you picked.
I had number 1 right with Despicable Me 2. I had number 2 right with The Lone Ranger. I had Monsters University at 3, and it came in at 4. And then I had The Heat at 4, and it came in at 3. So I flipped those two, so I lost 2 points. And then I did get World War Z right at 5. That's how I ended up with my 23.
Mm-hmm. And next up is Art with 21 points. Hit it.
Yeah. I had Despicable Me at 1, The Lone Ranger at 2, Monsters University at 3, The Heat at 4, and I should have had World War Z at 5, but I missed it when I was making my list. And then I refused to change it because I'm stubborn, and I put Man of Steel right there.
And next is Father Beast, also with 21 points, but just slightly different. He had Despicable Me 2 and Lone Ranger, correct? Monsters University in 3rd instead of 4th, World War Z in 4th instead of 5th, and he also had Man of Steel instead of 7th. And last up for this week is Nick with a lovely voicemail, so let's listen to that.
Hi, Lena. Hi, Jeff. Hi, Art. It's Nick calling with my picks. Number 1, I'm going to go with Despicable Me, animated, can't go wrong. Right there with it. Same story. Monsters U at number 2. The Heat, I'm going to put it number 3. And 4, because it's been getting panned, The Lone Ranger just got absolutely tortured. One critic said, I didn't know Tonto was the next member of KISS. And just a lot of the reviews stated that it was so weird. And just kind of out there. So I think it's going to bomb at number 4. And then 5, I'm going to go with World War Z. Thank you. Have a good week. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Nick. A very lovely voicemail. He had 20 points. He had Despicable Me correct in 1st, Monsters University in 2nd instead of... Whoops. Hold on. Because Lena did it wrong again. He had Monsters University in 2nd instead of 4th. He had The Heat correct in 3rd. The Lone Ranger in 4th instead of 2nd. And World War Z correct. Giving him 21 points, not 20 points. Lena. So let me fix his score right now. And
that's not why I'm sighing.
Why are you sighing?
Because that means he got the same score as me.
That's okay, because he left a really nice voicemail and said, started it off by saying, "Hi, Lena." He clearly knows who the cutest one is. So,
yeah.
I love you, Nick. So now on to the leaderboard. Kugron still in 1st place with 23.6 points. Scott is in 2nd with 23.2 points. Jeff, you are in 3rd with 22.3 points. BD is in 4th, 21.8 points. Art, you are in 5th with 20.3 points. Monty and Nick are tied for 6th place with 20 points. I will fix the website laters. Father Beast is in 8th with 19.7 points. I have bounced up a whole whopping point to 9th. With 18.7 points. Mrs. Beast is in 10th, 18.6. And Scuba Dave is in 11th with 16.4 points. Thank you, everybody, for playing. Yay. And that's it for that portion. Do we have any movies coming out?
Yes, I'm going to let Art go first because this is clearly the better movie.
Clearly the better movie, but that does not mean it's going to come in higher. We'll see what happens. Okay, I'm here to talk about Pacific Rim. 76% on the tomato meter. 98% want to see it with 48,773 user ratings. When legions of monstrous creatures known as kaiju start rising from the sea, a war begins that would take millions of lives and consume humanity's resources for years on end. To combat the giant kaiju, a special type of weapon was devised, massive robots called Jaegers, which are controlled simultaneously by two pilots whose minds are locked in a neural bridge. But even the Jaegers are proving nearly defenseless in the face of relentless kaiju on the verge of defeat. The forces defending mankind have no choice but to turn to two unlikely heroes, a washed-up former pilot, Charlie Hunnam, and an untested trainee, Rinko Kikuchi, who are keen to drive a legendary but seemingly obsolete Jaeger from the past. Together they stand as mankind's last hope against the mounting apocalypse. I'm very excited to see this movie.
I want to see it too. I don't know when I will though. I know I won't be getting to the movies this weekend.
You know, I'm a little surprised at the 76% because some of the major outlet reviews that I've been reading have hammered Del Toro hard over this movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I was heartened by one review that I found. Now, I'm not a big Mythbusters fan, but I came across this review by Adam Savage and the title of his review is "Holy Crap, I've Loved Pacific Rim." And he kind of starts saying that, you know, I'm friends with Mr. Del Toro and I'm friends with some of the special effects crew, so I might be a little biased. But one quote, "It's a freaking fantastic film. It's an amusement park ride times 10. It's exciting, exhausting, exhilarating, and funny to boot. Holy crap, I loved it." And just let me read you one other. I loved how he explained the Charlie Hunnam character. He imbues our hero, Rally Beckett, with every bit the cocky charisma removed by tragedy and replaced by toughness soon to be augmented by newfound respect and tenderness hero you could want. So, there's a lot of hyphens in there. But, yeah, I had to watch the trailer again today, and I'm really looking forward to this movie. More than I should be, because I don't have any previous experience with kaiju or even Japanese monster movies like Godzilla and all those other types of movies. And it's...
Oh, wow.
Because I cannot convince my 10-year-old son to come with me to see this.
Oh.
He says, "It looks too scary, Dad."
Aww.
I said, "It's giant robots and giant monsters. Never mind the fact that one of them is called Axe Head."
So you didn't watch Godzilla movies as a kid growing up?
Those aren't scary.
I just thought it was too cheesy.
No, but I mean, those are totally... Okay, no, I don't know. I ate them up as a kid. I watched them all. I remember just if anyone was on, I was watching it. You know, Godzilla versus the Smog Monster. Gamera and Ghidorah, and I just Mechazilla and Mecha Kong and Godzilla versus King Kong. I don't know. I ate them up as a kid. So this is, or even the cartoons, Transor Z, even Power Rangers is sort of in that same vein. And when I was young, well, when that first started, I was in high school, but I still watched it. That's enough. So I don't know. I am really excited to see this movie. For a number of reasons.
So going in, what do you think your score out of 10 is going to be?
That's
a nice question, but I think next week will be fun to see if it lived up to your guess would be.
Okay. I'm gonna guess maybe like a 7. 7 or 8. I think it's gonna be better than average. I don't think it's gonna be, I think I'm gonna be disappointed, but I think it's still gonna be really good. So we'll see. We'll see how the box office treats it. But
yeah.
You know, it's one of those things where I saw somebody quote, you know, it's like, you know, if Grown Ups 2 beats the pants off of Pacific Rim, it's going to continue to set back sci-fi movies, you know, whereas instead of doing these big, extravagant, over-the-top science fiction pieces, they put a bunch of comedians on the screen for a lot less money and put more butts in seats.
Yes, I don't think there's any way around that Grown Ups 2 is going to outperform Pacific Rim.
Yeah, but to what level, you know?
I don't think that anything surprising is going to come out of the box office performance of Grown Ups 2. But just like Serenity, Pacific Rim has to make money.
Yeah.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be a strong opener. I mean, I was just looking at lunch today that, you know, World War Z has never been number one, but they're counting that a box office success.
Right.
So hopefully the same thing for Pacific Rim. It's just, you just have to worry a little bit because there's no star power from that movie. I mean, because I've talked to people that haven't really heard about Pacific Rim, and I have to explain who Idris Elba is.
And
he's probably the biggest star in the movie.
The only ones I really know are him and Charlie Hunnam, but I don't know what the whole, I don't know who the whole cast is anyway.
Or,
they
might know who Hellboy is.
Yeah.
Ron Perlman.
Oh, okay. Who's also in Sons of Anarchy with Charlie Hunnam.
Yeah.
Right. Willem Dafoe is in it.
Pacific Rim?
Willem Dafoe? Really?
Yeah. He's at the bottom of the list, though. His part is probably small, but he's in there. You know what's weird? He's not even... He has no character name. That's weird.
He might be a voice.
But voice of who? Voice of what?
Yeah.
I'm going to look on IMDb and see if they have him listed there.
Yeah. That sounds like a good idea.
All right.
So Max Martini, that's a good name.
Let's, are we ready to talk about Grown Ups 2?
Yes.
Try to keep my cookies down here. Okay. Grown Ups 2. No reviews yet, but 95% of people want to see it. The all-star comedy cast. Yeah, it does say all-star. Okay, the all-star comedy cast from Grown Ups returns with some exciting new additions for more summertime laughs. Lenny, played by Adam Sandler, has relocated his family back to the small town where he and his friends grew up. This time around, the Grown Ups are the ones learning lessons from their kids on a day notoriously full of surprises, the last day of school. PG-13, 1 hour and 41 minutes. Yeah. So some new people. John Lovitz, who plays the character Squat's fitness janitor. You have Shaquille O'Neal, who plays Officer Flazoo.
Flazoo?
That's what it says.
Oh my god.
Milo Ventimiglia from Heroes plays frat boy Milo, and my wife pointed out that there is a crap load of Disney Channel people
and former SNLers.
Yes, well, Ellen Cleghorn plays Mary Flazoo, so probably Shaq's wife. Sherry O'Terry, Norm Crosby plays a Kmart employee. Yeah, that's it. I'm just seeing a bunch of models' names and... Oh, and at the very bottom, Salma Hayek. Yeah, okay.
You skipped Steve Austin.
The $6 Million Man?
Oh, no. Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Oh, yes. I love that we have zero to say about this.
Audience reviews for Grown Ups 2. Like with Cars 2, apparently the first Grown Ups just wasn't bad enough. I pity anyone who would rather watch this swine excrement over Pacific Rim. So, yeah.
Such vitriol.
Okay.
So, yes, I'm speechless. I'll probably be more speechless next week.
All right. Should we get into Pickens?
Yes. I wonder who's going
through. I like getting a 25. I don't like going first.
That's the only upside for me.
Yeah, I know.
Pros and cons. Pros and cons.
All right. Even though I've thought and gone back and forth, what I wrote down an hour ago, well, 2 hours ago, is what I'm going with. I'm putting Pacific Rim first. Yeah, I know.
I can't even be that bold.
Whatever. Apparently my balls are bigger and stupider than yours.
I'll take your word for it.
Grown Ups 2 in second. I just have so little faith in this. So little. Less than Pacific Rim. Despicable Me 2 in third. I'm putting The Heat in fourth. And I'm putting The Lone Ranger in fifth. The only thing I feel good about, and again, I could be way off, my art house pick is Fruitvale Station. Could be way off, but I've actually heard good things about it.
Do we know who's in it?
Hold on. I know it's produced by what's his doodles. It's written and directed by Ryan Coogler. Produced by, oh God, the guy, what the hell is his name? Forrest Whitaker and someone else. I don't know if it's based on a true story or if it's more the true story. It won the Audience Award for a U.S. dramatic film at the Sundance Film Festival. It has to do with the shooting of a man at the Fruitvale train station in San Francisco-ish. New Year's Eve 2008. And like this guy's life leading up to it that apparently shook the city. The guy's name, Oscar Grant. But sounds real interesting. And earlier today, I didn't read it, but I ran across an article about Ryan Coogler. Just that he's kind of up and coming and how wonderful this is. And those are my picks.
All right. This is what I get for writing my picks in pencil. I am going to go
Pacific Rim.
I'm going to go with the Minion Palooza, known as Despicable Me 2, at number one. Now, there's two factors in play here. That Pacific Rim is going to be on 300 more theaters than Grown Ups 2 is. But I still think more people are going to go see Grown Ups 2. So I'm going to put Grown Ups 2 at 2, and I'm going to put Pacific Rim at 3. And I'm just going to hope, I hope that I'm surprised. And usually when I put the faith in the movie going public, I get screwed hard. So I'm planning on that this time. And then The Heat at number 4, and The Lone Ranger, based on Elena's review, F-5.
Well, you know what? Laurie liked it too, so at the very least, two people liked it. I wasn't looking for it to be better or in any way comparable to the original. I try not to do that. It's the same thing. That's why so many people didn't like The Hobbit, because they went in with these massive expectations. Just friggin' entertain me. It's all I'm looking for, people. I paid $0 in this case. Entertain me.
And then for my indie pick, and I hope that Anna Sandler was in this movie, The Killing Station. because I would probably pay money to see him get shot. Did I write down? Yeah, it is season. I'm sorry. I wrote down Killing Station.
The Killing Season?
Like De Niro. I'm lukewarm on John Travolta. But I'm going to give them a shot. I was looking at another movie, but that other movie was 40% Rotten Tomatoes. So we'll see what Killing Season does. And that concludes.
And some more Milo action, which is why I thought that was so interesting that he's in the Grown Ups.
Oh, is he in all I saw of Box Office Mojo was two actors in it. So is Milo in that?
No, Milo's in Killing Season as well. Yeah.
Oh.
So he's got two movies coming out this weekend.
Now, see, the other movie I was going to go with the Walking Dead angle, but I decided to do it. So, Art, go ahead. Your turn.
All right. Last but not least, I have no faith in humanity, so I am going with Grown Ups 2 in the number one spot.
I have started my picks with that sentence, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I've been a listener for a long, 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 long time. I am going to go with Despicable Me in 2. And once again, because I have no faith in humanity, I am going with Pacific Rim in 3. I hope I am wrong. I hope it does much better. I hope
we're all wrong.
It comes in first. I really, really do. But that's not where I'm going to put it. I'm not going to vote with my heart because I'm not going to let the American public stomp on it. And I'm going to go with Heat 4 and The Lone Ranger 5. And I also went with The Killing Season for my art house pick. De Niro, Travolta, and
Ventimiglia.
Ventimiglia. You don't pronounce the G?
Not if you're Italian. Damn it! I don't know how he pronounces
it. I'm not Italian.
I'm just doing it. I don't know what he does. I'm just doing it the correct way.
Close enough. Yes. Close enough.
Anyway, so yeah, those are my picks.
Okay. Yay, picks. You know, I thought I had news, but I apparently don't. I could have sworn, like, when I was seeing things come up on Twitter, I would favorite them so that I could go back and mention it. But then when I went and looked at my favorites, I'm like, there's nothing here, but recipes and puppies and a baby sloth. There's nothing for the show.
A baby sloth? So,
they're so cute when they're babies.
All right. I'll take
a look at a picture. Yeah. Look at a picture of baby sloth and tell me your heart doesn't go crackle, crackle.
Yeah, I've seen many twit pics of baby huskies, baby panthers, baby cheetahs, baby polar bears, baby platypuses. Those are really cute.
Oh my goodness, how cute.
I'll retweet these so you can see them, Lena.
There's a video I sent my friend of a baby ducky, a little baby duckling, and it's following this guy around the house. And apparently there's tile floors because all you can hear is slap, 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 slap of his little tiny duck feet.
Nice.
He's so cute. All right, guys, what's the news we got?
Art, what do you got?
Okay. Well, first off, as you were talking about favoriting things on Twitter, I follow IMDb, and they, just this past week, mentioned the anniversary of Tron going by, and Tron is now 31 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. That makes me feel really old.
God.
Yeah. And yet still holds up. I watched that movie today. I'm like, it still is. They just did such a good job with the special effects, in my opinion, that it still looks really good considering when it was made.
Did you ever watch the Pixar documentary?
Yes. Well, which one? There was one that aired like maybe 7-8 months ago.
No, I think this one is a little. I think this one's earlier than that. I only saw bits and pieces of it, but part of it is because I heard most of these stories when Chibi was on Backseat Producers.
Yeah, I remember that, like a 4-hour episode.
Yeah. And, you know, because John Lasseter, who I don't know if he still heads Pixar, but he's almost the CEO of the entire Disney nowadays. And he was having a hard time because back when they were first developing Tron, he was banging his head against the wall trying to tell him that we need to go into computer animation. This hand stuff isn't, you know, it's not the long-term thing to do. And he was really distraught. And then he saw what they were doing with Tron. And that's when he got the idea that he needs to, you know, separate from Disney and do his own thing because they don't know what's going on. So Tron, in my view, was a very important movie, not only for me, showing me what movies could be, but, you know, obviously had something to do with the creation of Pixar, which created a lot of great, great movies, like Finding Nemo.
Yeah, I do think that's the one I saw. And it just told the entire, like, beginning history, the ups, the downs, the, you know, everyone's involvement and the kind of direction they were taking. Yeah, it was a really good documentary.
And speaking of Tron, that also got me to start playing with Frisbees more.
Frisbees?
Mm-hmm.
I have not seen Tron, so that is lost on me.
That's kind of their primary weapon in the Tron world. They have these little magic frisbees they throw around.
Yeah, just go. Yeah, you have Netflix, right?
Yeah, I was actually just going to go look and see if it's there.
I don't think it's there, but Tron Legacy might be.
All right.
It's a cartoon that kind of follows up the second Tron movie.
Tron, I believe you're talking about Tron Uprising, which was on Disney XM. Tron Legacy was the sequel movie that Jeff Bridges was in.
It has Tron Uprising.
Yeah.
Should I watch this?
Watch an episode of that, and you'll understand what the whole frisbee thing is.
Add it to my. Oh, I see him. He's the guy. The picture of it is he's holding it.
Yeah, but it's a weapon, sort of in the vein of Xena, warrior princess kind of thing.
Gotcha.
Okay, Art. Yeah, do you want me to go next, or do you got another thing to talk about?
Sure. No, yeah, let's just alternate.
Okay, from the Let's Really Jump the Gun file, Dark Horizons is reporting that Star Wars Episode 7 is going to make $1.2 billion. It's not now yet. I don't even know if the script's done. I don't know.
Oh, billion. Sorry.
Anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Says here that I guess Credit Suisse or Swiss or something like that says that he expects Disney to generate about $733 million in profits and $1.2 billion in global theatrical receipts. And even though they are taking a bath on Lone Ranger, their stock price is going up. So I kind of have a peripheral question to this article. Have we reached the oversaturation point on Star Wars?
No.
I don't think so either, because and I think from the non-geek perspective, it's been away long enough. That's my thought on it. Like, if they were just spitting out the movies really fast, I could see people getting sick of it.
I don't know. I mean, I say A, that's their plan, because they're talking about a bunch of movies coming up. B, look at what they've done with the Avengers. You know, if you consider each of those movies as part of that story building, you know, towards that, I don't think you've got any kind of fatigue. No, there has been no superhero fatigue for all the Avengers lead up movies. They've gotten, you know, bigger and bigger.
Mm-hmm.
I see that rabid fan base just continuing to grow. I think the dropping Clone Wars is a huge mistake, but in the overall scheme of things, I don't think it's going to set them back that much.
The reason they closed Clone Wars is that it's not a Disney property. And that's not how Disney operates. So
I understand.
Yeah.
I still think it's a mistake.
Yeah, I think the goal is that they need to stop doing Clone Wars stuff. Or it may not be their goal, but my goal would be that, you know, I think they need to step away from the prequels. Even though, you know, we're talking about Yoda having his own movie.
Really?
Basically, what I'm talking about is that I probably see, when I take my kids to the elementary school, I probably see more Star Wars shirts than I do any other pop culture nowadays. And it might not be because Star Wars is cranking out, you know, cartoon after cartoon or movie after movie. It's just that they're at every Target nowadays. And there's easily 25 different items in the toy section that you can buy of Star, you know, from the original movies that, you know, it's been almost 30 years. They were just talking about the 30th anniversary of Return of the Jedi this year. They're still selling, you know, that kind of thing. And it mainly, I'm worried that, you know, they're setting the Star Wars factory up to crank out product where there's going to be a movie every year. And I don't know, I might be, after Into Darkness, I know you guys don't have this opinion, but I'm concerned about Abrams in Episode 7.
I don't think anything should be cranking out a movie, a sequel movie every year. No, nobody should. I don't care who you are.
Well, but kind of like, you know, with Pixar, it takes them 4 years to make a movie.
And that's...
They have two crews, so you get a Pixar movie every 2 years.
And that's fine, because you build... First of all, you're getting a whole new audience with the kids that are now old enough to see them.
Right.
And the people who like the first one have time enough to get excited to see the next, you know, the next piece of it. If the Toy Stories had come out year after year after year, I wouldn't have given a rat's ass about them.
Okay, but what about Lord of the Rings or The Hobbit? Or... what other franchises have come out really? I don't know what was the time frame. Twilight movies. I can't call it up right off hand, but are they that close together?
Don't put Twilight in with Lord of the Rings. What are you doing to me?
You know what? It has a rabid fan base.
They are rabid.
I'm not comparing
That's what's
it.
Wrong with
I am
them.
Not- I am not comparing it on a content wise. I am just comparing it on a, they're just building on something and the people are going to see it.
Oh yeah. I think,
you know, we as a society have become just massive consumers of media. I think as long as it is good, we will consume it as fast as you are putting it out. I don't think once a year is too often.
With Lord of the Rings, for me, just me, the fact that it was all shot at the same time made that appealing.
Well, one thing that the example kind of breaks down a little bit is because each of these Star Wars movies are going to have different production staffs.
Mm-hmm.
Not, you know, kind of like Lord of the Rings. They had the same crew and they basically kept the same sets built so they could do all three if they were able to use the sets. Whereas, you know, you're having these parallel production crews that they're going to try to do, you know, one every year. I'm trying to think of a good example. You know, maybe James Bond. What if they did James Bond one every year, but necessarily it wasn't 007 in each one. Maybe there was like a 006 or a 005 that they did every year.
I think as long as they were still good, I mean, as long as you had a Daniel Craig caliber actor,
right.
I think you could make that work. That's the thing. It has to be good. Mm-hmm. Well, it has to be good to the audience. The audience has to consider it good. How's that for a statement?
Yeah.
I accept that.
So we'll see. We'll see. Okay, Art, I think it's your turn.
Okay. So Vin Diesel has now taken that meeting at Marvel. It's still rampant speculation as to what he's doing, but he commented about taking a meeting on Facebook. And there's still no information coming out about what he's going to be doing. The speculation is still possibly Vision or possibly a villain. Some people are saying Ant-Man, and a lot of people are saying they really don't see that. I don't know. I think personally, Vision is a good guess. I could totally see him doing it, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll have to see. I'm not that excited about him, but he could surprise me.
I like him as a action-y kind of guy.
All right, so I have one more news item from the Oh My God, You've Got to Be Kidding. Lena, do you remember a movie, Iron Sky?
Yes.
Do you remember the subject matter or the genre of Iron Sky?
I know.
I know you know.
Jeez.
World War II, mass genocide.
Okay.
So, Iron Sky was about Nazis on the moon. Apparently, the first round of fan funding on Indiegogo has raised $150,000 in crowdfunding, if I haven't said that already, for Iron Sky 2, The Coming Race. Director Timo Viorzanzola, something like
that. I'm going to let you have that one.
I was going to say. I think I just described those horns that are at soccer games. Said the cash would go to finishing the script for the sequel. So they need the money to finish the script. I find that.
That's a little early in production.
Yeah, yeah. So those that loved Iron Sky, be happy that there's going to be Iron Sky 2, which I'm sure will go direct to video just like Iron Sky 1 did. Oh, by the way, the first Iron Sky raised more than $1 million of its $10 million budget via crowdfunding.
Wow.
But they've raised the budget for this one up to $15 million.
Yeah, I don't know that they're going to make it. I have a buddy who actually did some of the sound editing for Iron Sky. They actually, they crowdsourced their sound editing.
Really?
Yeah, that is the story that he tells. I have not looked into it.
I would have to assume he's not lying to me.
I make no assumptions, but I make no guarantees either. That is just what he said. I am taking him at his word because if he's lying, it really does not change my life.
Yes.
Okay. Alrighty.
Okay. So, have you guys heard of The Maze Runner?
No. Maze is in corn or maze is in a maze?
A maze is in like a maze.
Okay.
I've
been running through the maze.
I vaguely remember hearing about that. But go ahead.
It looks like a sort of a post-apocalyptic kids trapped in something called the Glade and trying to escape through this maze. And the premise is they wake up in the Glade, they have no memory, and they're trying to escape, and they don't know how they got there. So it's kind of like a psychological thriller, action-y. But it looks interesting. I just heard about it based on a book, and it looks kind of interesting. So I'm seeing screenshots, but I haven't seen anything like a trailer yet. February 14th of next year, so it's still a long way off. But it has piqued my interest.
Post-apocalyptic Valentine movies.
Yeah, Valentine's.
Almost all male cast, one girl. So yeah, that's a Valentine's movie.
Sausage Fest.
Yeah.
Oh, funny.
Okay, I got one more thing, and it kind of builds on something that I think we talked about last week, Art, and that's Jeff Bridges. There's a new trailer for a movie called The Seventh Son. Apparently it was a book or a book series.
Remake?
And it's not I don't know if it's a remake.
Oh, what am I thinking? I'm thinking Seventh Sign. Seventh Sign.
Oh my gosh.
This looks like, you know, it looks like a fantasy movie. Where you have?
Is this about the clones?
No.
Oh no. No,
there's a dragon and there's Jeff Bridges walking around all badass with a sword. Julianne Moore plays a nasty witch, and it says furious dragons, a four-hand warrior, a troll, and other deadly creatures. So check out the trailer, and I'll be interested to hear your thoughts if Jeff Bridges is going to pull this one off or not.
Kit Harington. Why do I know that name? I think... he's in Game of Thrones. Okay, that's why. I'm looking at the cast of Seventh Son.
Yeah, there was a...
Jaimin Hansu, Jason Scott Lee.
There's an author named J.C. Hutchins
mm-hmm.
who did a book called Seventh Son, but it's seven, the number.
Right, there's the... there are three of them.
That's about clone. Yes.
Yeah, that was the first audiobook I listened to. Well, no, second.
Okay, yeah, I listened to it as well. That's why you said Seventh Son. I'm like, clone?
Right. No. The last I heard, J.C. a while back said that it got picked up as an option to develop as a movie, but nothing happened with it.
Gotcha.
The J.C. Hutchins. Seventh Son, not the Jeff Bridges movie.
Right. Okay. More Orson Scott Card.
Oh, yes. I've read about the controversy.
The controversy about Seventh Son or the controversy about Orson Scott Card?
Orson Scott Card. He's Endersign, okay. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Endersign, is that right?
Ender's Game.
Ender's Game. I was like, that word is not right, but I don't know what I mean to say.
It's because I said Seventh Sign earlier.
I think so. You're killing me, Art. You're killing me.
That's why I'm here to trip you up.
I will get my revenge at Archon. Don't you worry.
Probably.
Yeah.
Not.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right, Art. You got anything else? Because I'm out on news.
Release date. For Elysium, August 9th.
Mm-hmm.
So that is coming up quickly.
That's my birthday weekend, you know, in case you guys want to get me something.
Okay.
Thank you.
I know where you live.
Yeah, you do, actually.
No, I don't
know. You don't, because I moved.
No,
that's
I don't.
Right.
But do you have a valid forward on the file?
I should, yeah. Isn't it, like, valid for a year?
Year and a half.
Yeah.
The first 12 months, they send it forward to you. The last 6 months, they return it to sender with the corrected address.
I will be in Vegas that weekend at Nick's wedding. Not
Nick's
podcast.
He didn't tell me.
You're Nick. He's dumping you for Jeff.
Facebook.
They seem so cute, those two.
Yes.
No, I mean, I don't know them, but, you know.
No, I was very touched that I am the only non-family invited to the wedding.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yes.
No.
So, very nice. That means I got to buy a better gift now.
Yes, you do.
So, unfortunately, for his last wedding, I got him a New York Jets chip and dip set. That was a helmet, And you take the top of the helmet off, and that's where you put the chips. So this year, I think I'm going to get him a Jawa bank. That's in a Star Wars game. He plays a Jawa crime lord.
Oh, my.
Nice.
So, yes. Okay.
Will she, like, beat you up for doing that?
Yes, but it'll be worth it.
Okay.
Because I know that I'm the only person that's going to give Nick a Jawa bank.
Clearly.
And the only reason I thought of it is because you can buy one at Disneyland. Right next where you can make your own lightsaber.
Life is good.
Right after Star Tours.
What does it cost to make your own lightsaber?
I stopped looking, I think, once it got over, like, 20. I mean, because I don't know, there's always a huge line to do it, so I know my son is probably just going to break stuff around the house. So he has a green Return of the Jedi lightsaber. So that's enough for him. Even though Dave did tell me that you may now make your own R2-D2s. So you can make an R2 or an astromech droid, if we want to be correct. You can put one in a pirate hat if you want to put Mickey ears on it. So the true Disney Star Wars fusion is happening.
Nice. Now, are we talking about like a plushie? No. What model? What size? No clue?
Little action figure type R2.
Okay.
So it's all plastic. And so it's just probably checking. 3 inches high. 3-4 inches high.
So it won't be to scale with the old Kenner figures.
I don't know about that, because I have a Kenner R2-D2.
It is times like this, many times, but I am sorry I don't have kids. Because I do not have the talent to rein you boys in.
You just got to throw something else on the block. So it gives us, you got to distract us. Where's the squirrel? Right. Squirrel. Right.
Since we're already losing Lena, I have a Munchkin story from last
week. Okay.
And it's going to be quick.
All right.
We had a new player, the 14-year-old little brother, and he had a great time playing Munchkin. But he got stuck with this card, and it's a cursed backpack that every round it eats a die 6 worth of cards out of your hand.
Wow.
And he got stuck with this thing for 8 turns.
That sucks.
And all you have to do to get rid of it is to roll 6. On the 9th turn, he happened to roll a 6. And that's when I had to play my card that I was saving for just this occasion, Feline Intervention.
What does that do?
It's a picture of, it just shows a cat going ninja on a D6. And what it says on the card is that a cat takes your die, you have to re-roll.
Yep.
So he got stuck with it for another 3 turns. But I thought you'd enjoy that little story, Link.
Oh my god, that's so cute.
And now, is this a Bag of Devouring card? Or is it named specifically, or do you know?
I think it is the Bag of Devouring. It might not be Bag. Part of what I was saying earlier about not being prepared is that I was going to pull the 2 cards in question.
Gotcha. Well, in the original AD&D, it was a Bag of Devouring.
Yes.
It looks like a Bag of Holding, but it eats your stuff randomly.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. Oh, wait, I might have a story.
I don't think I...
Do I? No, just seems boring. Rex Reed shit. He's getting on my nerves, this old man. Apparently, he trashed VHS 2 without seeing it.
Oops.
Well, he also, I don't know if you recall, when Identity Thief came out, he said some really, really horrible things about Melissa McCarthy, physically and personally.
Oh, that guy.
Yes, that guy.
He's terrible.
VHS 2 I have no idea if the movie is good or not. I haven't seen it, but if I'm a movie reviewer, I'm kind of gonna. He's already reviewed it and hasn't seen it. Okay. But that was, no, that's it. He's not worth my time anymore. I don't like him.
No, no, no. I did want to mention the prediction for Star Wars 7 to make $1.2 billion. Did you see the, were you looking at that on Cinema Blend?
I was looking at it on Dark Horizons.
Okay, on Cinema Blend, they have the same story. And at the bottom, they have the Patton Oswalt Star Wars rant from Parks and Rec. And I was asked, have you seen that? Obviously, Lena has.
It was fantastic.
I've heard about it. I haven't watched it yet.
Take the time. Take the time to watch it. It is definitely worth it.
Patton Oswalt was the only reason to go see the Charlize Theron movie Young Adult. He was good. I mean, I've never really seen him do anything really dramatic.
All right. Do you have anything else, Lena or Art?
I do not.
I do not either.
Alrighty then. Well, everybody, thanks for listening. Have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy whatever movies you're going to go see. And considering each one of us picked something different at number one, I'm going to tell y'all to go see Pacific Rim because that's how I roll. It's all about me.
Really, what a surprise.
I know, because it is so not going to be a number one. my brief stint at number one was short but sweet. Thanks. Thanks for listening, guys. You guys have a good weekend, too.
You too.
You do the same.
We'll catch you next time.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Good night.